Hello, this is Dr. Annie Rohr with another episode or a little podcast bite of Even Psychologists Lose Their Shit. So a lot of people are curious about couples therapy. I've been a couples therapist for a long time. So I got my master's in marriage and family before I was a psychologist. So I've been training in a family systems kind of couples way. And a lot of questions come up around couples therapy, like, wow, that must be hard. How do you deal with it? Things like that. So I'm just going to give a few interesting little tidbits, maybe humorous stories. We'll see what comes out. And then hopefully I can come up with some kind of wisdom at the end. I don't know. I'm shooting from the hip for most of these. I literally carry the phone, just so you can get a picture of this. I'm carrying the phone using a free recording app. And my toddler's either sleeping or she's watching a show in the background or making a ruckus. And I'm just walking back and forth, producing whatever comes out of my mouth. So hence why sometimes it comes out a little bit clumsy. I am just speaking from the top of my head with no notes. All right. So couples, working with couples. I used to really love working with couples. You see so much change and goodness. And here's the thing. When you work with one client or one patient, it's just you and that patient, you just have to take their word for it, right? You have to sort of read between the lines and try to figure it out. But from a family systems perspective, and that's where I work, you sort of look at the entire family. And when you've got one more person in the room, whether it be their, you know, their partner or their husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend, you get another big piece of the puzzle. And when you include family, and sometimes I have big families in a room, sometimes I've had families at 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 in a room, you can really see a family dynamic. You can see who shuts down who, what happens, the hierarchy system, who's shy, who's the, they call it the scapegoat, who takes the blame. You can see a lot of things in the room. So when you work from a family systems perspective, it's sort of like no bullshit. Because when you're working with just one person, you can only take their perspective. And you have to try to be objective with their perspective, but you end up supporting that person, not knowing this other side. So as a couple, you see them both. You can see the partner's face. You can see him or her doing eye rolls. When their partner's talking, you can hear the sigh, lots of interruptions, you know. So you're talking to one and you're asking a question, you know, what brings you in? And the other person's like, oh, whatever, shut up. Or they're just rolling their eyes or they're quiet. So much is in nonverbals when it comes to couples or family therapy. What I find very interesting and, again, stereotypical is usually what you get is the female partner will bring in or drag in the boyfriend or the husband. He doesn't want to be there. And the only way to get this guy to open up is to sort of assist him or let him talk badly about the partner. You have to say something like, you know, I'm really worried about her. Is there anything you want to say? And then all of a sudden, everything comes pouring out. Otherwise, they just sort of sit there. Again, stereotyping. There's a lot of wonderful men out there who have lots to share and come in on their own. So let's see, some couples stories. The hardest part about being a couples therapist is simply this. Every now and again, you separate out the couple. And the reason why you would do that, sometimes you're assessing for safety. We separate out a couple in the beginning to make sure that they're both safe. You know, you do not want to put someone in a situation where there's domestic violence or anything like that. So you would separate them out and kind of assess for it, make sure that they're safety, and then you can bring them back together. So that's one reason to separate. Another reason I separate couples is because sometimes there's just too much tension and I'm getting nowhere. And I need to get to something. So I'll separate them out and I usually am able to figure out what's happening or what needs to move or change so we can get to the stuckness. So here's a typical and unfortunate thing that occurs sometimes. So I'm working with perhaps the fellow in the relationship, and he doesn't know what the heck he's got to do to make things better. He's, you know, exasperated, he's frustrated. And you know, usually they do something wrong or they've done something wrong. And of course this guy's clueless. So I understand that he's willing to work with me. He wants to do stuff. He wants to get better. So he leaves the room. I bring in his dear partner. And his partner's got a whole hoopla of stuff to say about what he's done wrong. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't share. He's always out with his friends. Whatever it is, there's always a whole bunch of stuff. We're disconnected. There's no spark. He works too much, whatever the issue will be. So I, of course, say something very kind, like, you know, what would it look like? What would be perfect? I give some communication strategies. And usually in this wonderful session, there's a breakthrough. And this dear, sweet, lovely woman, and, you know, they are all good-intentioned, well-intentioned people, will tell me something that she thinks would make everything better. If he would just ask me how I'm doing, you know, notice me more, whatever it would be. And I would say, would it help you if, you know, I help him work on this so we can give you what it is you're looking for to help you build connection with your partner? And they say yes. So they go away. In the next session, I work with the fellow alone and I give him this exact strategy to make it better. And he's happy. He feels armed and excited and knows what to do. And then he goes home and does what is said. And for some reason, it blows up. And the next session, they come in and she says, he did this weird thing that was terrible. He asked me how I was and it was such bullshit and it felt loaded or whatever. And it all just blew up. So this happens sometimes to couples therapists. And let me tell you how I feel about it. I feel like such an ass because here you are with good intentions. You got both sides of the story. You know, you create the dynamic, you give the guy the answer. And then there's a big fight about it. And she's like, what the hell is this bullshit? And then you have to be the person in the room, the heel, to be like, that was my suggestion. And the reason I suggested it is because you told me that that's what you wanted. And then you have a whole session about what she really wants and what really went down or whatever. But I just want you to know that that happens for couples therapists sometimes. And it's the worst feeling in the world when you give this amazing strategy to someone. And the next time you talk to them, they say that they had a fight and it was because they did this thing that you suggested. So again, therapists aren't perfect and we don't know what's going to work in what moment for what person. But that's funny to me. Another thing that's often funny to me is you tell people, you literally tell them, tell me what you need to make this better. And they will tell you what they need. And it sounds great. And you've done the work, you've dug deeper, you've done, you know, some subconscious work, family values, whatever, you know, your 10 therapy sessions deep, and you've got this amazing list of things that their partner needs to work on and that they need to work on. And two things are annoying. The first one is they don't fucking do any of it. And it makes you so annoyed because you literally gave them the answer, you know, the couple's manual for them, personalized, and they don't do any of it. So that's annoying thing number one. And then the next step is, why aren't they doing anything? And then you start shifting the session into, do you even want to be together? Because you have the answer and nobody's doing anything. Okay. Part two, the annoying thing number two, is when they do those things and they get irritated at each other for it. I don't know what that is, but it happens a lot. You know, like the person finally communicates in the way that they wanted and it's not good enough. Or Gottman is a really big couples therapist guru, and he calls it bids for attention. When a couple or a person tries to get your attention or does something, it's called a bid. And I'm bringing it up because I see it all the time. You have this list of amazing things that you said that you wanted, and your couple's doing it and making this bid for attention, and you just refuse to do it or deal with it or acknowledge it. And that's painful. At least for me, when you see one person trying and the other one's not, or the stubbornness or whatever. Anyway, I hope some of these stories were interesting and not too boring. There's a lot of fun stuff that happened in couples therapy. There's a lot of really bad stuff too. You know, when you catch, you can look at a couple, at least I can, I've been around long enough where I can see when something's going wrong, when one person's gone already and the other one's trying, and you can see it in their eyes that they're done already. And you literally just sort of have to sit with them until they both arrive where you've seen they would go, you know, to the end. And you have to sort of ride out this very painful year with them. That's really hard. Or when you're sitting with them and you know that one person is cheating, or they met someone else, or they've got one foot out the door, and you just have to, again, wait for them to arrive. It's not pleasant. So, but again, I think every therapist who works with families would agree with me that one of the hardest things in the world to do is watch these people struggle to actually do what they need to do to make it work. And when they get all the tools and they choose not to do it, it's so aggravating. Okay, so that's my stories. And just to impart a little bit of wisdom here, I really believe a couple things. I believe that if you're in a couple, you have to have one belief and understanding that the person that you're with will change over time. I believe that people are stuck and they want to be with the quote unquote person I married or the quote unquote person I met. You will be disappointed. We're supposed to grow and change and shift. Okay? So I often tell this story. So I think it's on a few other recordings, but I met a couple who'd been married for 50 years when I first started getting my master's degree. You know, this is before my doctorate and before everything. And they were successful. And I asked them, hey, you know, I'm learning about couples and marriage therapy, and I find it all fascinating. What kept you guys together? And this dear, sweet lady looks at me, and her husband, you know, pulls out his paper. I was a waitress at a Greek restaurant, and he doesn't want to deal with it. And he's like, ugh. And she starts laughing, and he's reading his newspaper, ignoring her. And she goes, well, Annie, I haven't been married to the same man this whole time. And I thought, oh shit, can of worms. And she said, no, no. What I mean is, I married this amazing soldier in the military. And then I married a man who had children. Then I married a man who experienced trauma. Then I married a man who, you know, had a midlife crisis. Then I was married to a man who became a grandfather and lost his job and retired. And she said, do you get the point? I rolled with the punches, and I understood that he was going to change over time and I was going to change over time. And there was going to be moments where we grew together and moments where we grew apart. But it made it exciting because it wasn't ever boring. So I want you to understand that the biggest advice I can give any couple, having been doing this for so many years, is the person's not going to stay the same, and they shouldn't. You want them to grow and change and shift. And you want to be there for them. And there's going to be a part where you love who they are, and they're amazing, and you can't believe how lucky you were to have found them. And there's going to be years and parts where you think that they're horrible and you can't believe that you married them. But those parts pass, and sometimes those dark parts pass, and wonderful parts and chapters show up. I don't think my husband loves who I was, you know, as a starter mom, somebody who had postpartum anxiety. But I think he also says he thinks I'm brave, and he saw this other side of me. I always had my shit together, like always. And then he got to see this very soft, vulnerable side. And perhaps he doesn't get as much attention as he used to. Perhaps I'm not as put together as I used to be, but he also saw this other side of me. And we know, we keep saying it's like a little dance. We know that as she gets older, we'll connect in different ways again, in different, you know, different times, different ways, whatever. So that's my first advice. Expect change, encourage it, grow together, hold on. The second amazing piece of advice I have for you, communicate. And I know that's just loaded, right? Communicate. But really, express when you're upset. Express when you're afraid to talk to each other. Express when you don't know what to say, or you're tired, or you don't want to talk right now. And you know what? All you have to do is just set a time when you are willing, when you're both willing. And sometimes it takes weeks to find that space. But the fact that you're both willing to find that space to communicate and express yourself is okay. And sometimes communicating in a text or on a note or in a couple's journal is just as okay as anything else. But I just want that connection to stay there, you know, because you'll find that you can communicate about anything when you first meet someone, and then life gets freaking hard. And maybe you're talking about fertility issues and it becomes harder. Or maybe you're talking about health issues. Your partner gained some weight and you're worried, or high blood pressure, or a parent, one of your parents is passing or getting sick. And then all of a sudden you don't connect and you don't know how to talk to each other in the same way. Keep trying, keep communicating, keep connecting. And when you don't know how and you get a little lost, admit that. Say, I don't know what to do. I'm a little lost. Can we work this out? And that's what the therapists are there for. and you find a therapist you connect with who gets you. Anyway, I hope this helped. I'm going to go stare at my toddler sleeping for a little while. And I'm sending all my couples out there blessings, and I'm hoping that you connect and found some peace or some answer in this, or at least you related a little bit. Take care.